SBS Italian.
It's pretty straightforward, actually. The Australian Open is a tennis tournament. It doesn't wish to just be a tennis tournament. That's the critical thing. So the other Grand Slams are super. But I think there's probably 400,000 odd people go to Roland Garros. Wimbledon, about 500,000. We have 1 million people. The 1 million people is 1 in 25 of the Australian population. So if you see it in those terms, it's quite a festival. The important part for us is therefore to create things which are not just about tennis. So we see this as a, and we always say, a festival of Australian summer. So, you know, listeners can't see this now, but you can see the blue sky. It's a lovely place to be. And part of that is families. And families in sport are really bad. Sport is really bad for families because my kids don't want to sit down in the hot sun and just do nothing. So we take a view that if we can create an experience that families and kids want, then ultimately they may get into tennis, but they'll have a bloody good time.
Where does it all come from? Who had the first idea?
Oh, it's no strategic brilliance. It's just to say, across the Open, we have different experiences for different age groups. So we have a music festival. It's actually Australia's biggest music festival now, for about 100, 150,000 people. Goes for 15 days. Those people may watch tennis, probably not. We don't care. It's same with the kids. It's a market which school holidays in Australia. You're coming to the end. This is the last week of school holidays. It's the summer holidays. Kids are probably climbing the wall. Their parents don't know what to do. So we basically offer them a theme park. So this isn't about tennis. This is about just a good day. So we have a water park, for example. We have childcare. So no sports event has ever offered childcare. Why? It's crazy not to. You know, mom and dad want to have a couple of drinks, maybe want to watch some tennis, maybe they want to go to the music festival. But what do we do with the kids? We did some research and we $20 an hour for childcare. So we know that the average stay at the Open is 8 to 10 hours. Well, you do the maths on childcare. That's not the ticket price that stops you from coming. It's the cost of childcare. So we say, well, no, don't worry. We'll do childcare. So we now have a facility where parents, and we launched that this year, has been really successful. And I think it's the future of all big events.
Elsewhere in the world, that's what grandpa and grandmas are for.
Actually, you know what? You might be right. Maybe that's you might be right. That might be a symbol of our society. But ultimately, you need something to do with the kids. Do we rush a tennis racket into their hands? No. They have the ability here. We have coaching for children so that they can, you can drop them off in like ski school, just like ski school. You can come to a Grand Slam, you can watch the tennis, and your kids will be taught on the courts within the precinct. We have a children's film festival, so that you can drop your kids and then watch Cars or goodness knows what film. And then we have the water park, then we have an adventure zone, and ultimately next year we'll just keep building it. Because it's a business in its own right. What do families do during the summer? They come to the Australian Open. That's what we want.
When you say we ever first, do you mean basically Tennis Australia, or that does include local council?
No, it's Tennis Australia. This is a bizarre thing because on the one hand, we're a tennis federation, but on the other hand, we run the Australian Open. The one is a really big global entertainment business, and the other one is about encouraging people to play tennis. But our strategy is very clear. If the Open is as big as it can be, and we don't want to just be an Australian tennis tournament, we want to be the world's leading sports entertainment event. So we're very lucky. We have a large site. It's actually 3 kilometres now from this one station here at Flinders down to Richmond Station. So it's an enormous site. And interestingly, one of the big things we've discovered is it's so big now, we need to look at transport within the precinct to get people around. The team are doing 18,000 steps a day. It's really good for fitness. But if you're a parent and you're arriving at Flinders Station down in the centre of town, you're not going to walk 3 kilometres to what we call the ballpark, which is the name for all of the water park adventures, the childcare, the tennis courts, everything. So now we're looking next year at how we can incorporate the tram network within the framework of the event, and you can jump on, jump off.
Given that this was obviously an experiment this year, did you have any feedback already? Was there any critical point or anything that you already figured out that can be developed next year?
Yeah, we just need to do it bigger and better. I mean, we've been averaging 7,500 children a day. We already did a trial last year. It's much smaller in the heart of the site. We moved it this year to open up. It's actually 35% increase in the floor space of the Australian Open this year, and that was all for kids. So the other side of Melbourne Arena, it's almost a kilometre long now, the site, just for children. About 7,500 a day, so after 14 days you get an idea of how many. It's not a bad first year. And because sport doesn't do this, sport says, if you're not interested in sitting there, then we're not interested in you. We take a very different view.
How many staff people do you need to support all these?
Hundreds. Actually, I don't know the number. We have a team of three people who are full-time year-round on planning the activities. And then we work with a kids childcare provider called Kidsco, who actually has, obviously you can imagine if you're dropping your five-year-old off at childcare, you want to make sure that it's a professional operation. So we do that as a partnership. And then we have hundreds of volunteers and helpers, well, not volunteers, actually, they're all paid employees who run the water slide, who run the climbing wall. We have a Ninja Warriors, the Nine television show. We have a mini Ninja Warriors course for kids. We have stages, we have shops, we have restaurants. It's all, think of it like a little theme park, like a Disneyland.
Does it also translate into more people playing tennis in the medium long run?
It does. It does, but not, we don't say to children, look, as soon as you arrive, you have to play tennis. You know what people refer to the Australian Open as, I'm going to the tennis. Yes. So this is a nickname. Now, if our theory is, if how many will come? 150,000 kids, 100,000 kids. And if they've had a great day at the tennis, we're a step closer. Now, of course, we offer them the opportunity to sign up for Hot Shots or our youth programs. In fact, we offer them a chance to have a hit on the courts when they're here. So some may play here, some we may contact afterwards, some may sign up to Hot Shots, some may just go and have gone, Mommy and Daddy, thank you, I've had a lovely day. That's cool.
In terms of revenues, how much of these goes into the, say, society, into...
All of the money that we earn from the Australian Open, this is the strategy, goes back into developing tennis in Australia. So that's as big as the Australian Open can become, as successful as it can become, then we have more money to invest into tennis clubs in Perth or in Victoria, Ballarat, wherever it is, and to help more people play tennis. That's our goal as an organisation. It's just... we have the Australian Open as that, we call it like the big engine to drive revenue to help the game.
And what about the revenue in terms of the local economy, given that it's obviously also a tourism boost event?
Well, it depends which methodology you use to measure financial input for a state, but there's no doubt it's Australia's most successful event. It's 800 million people are watching it on TV. We have 1 million people visiting. There'll be... somewhere this year between 15 and 25% of people, actually 50% if you say interstate or overseas. So you think the visitor economy itself directly and indirectly is, this is a huge beast of an operation for the economy, which is super. So the numbers, the official valuations just become like telephone books. They're so many hundreds of millions of dollars of value. You know, we employ 9,000 people to run the event. So that in employment alone is a big deal. We're on television in every country in the world. And we've now doubling our Chinese visitation every year. So what we feel passionate about actually is that every year this has to be bigger and better. Not necessarily bigger just to be bigger, but more interesting. What are we doing for children this year? What are we doing around music, food? That's really important. And of course, right at the middle, the tennis.
within that million, are there stats and figures in relation to where are they from? How many of those are Melbournians? How many of those are from elsewhere in Australia or from overseas?
Yeah, we're pretty good. I think we can get better on analysing exactly people's journeys. But we know we're about 50% from Victoria and 50% Australian, other states and other international guests.
Obviously, within in the last 10 years, Australian Open developed a lot in terms of, you know, welcoming visitors, particularly from Asia. But at the same time, because at the heart of Tennis Australia, there's, you know, also the Hopman Cup as well as the Brisbane International, and those tournaments got quite big in the recent years. And I was always wondering why, as a Brisbane local, I should go both to Brisbane International and then fly to Melbourne for the Australian Open. So what's the solution of this conundrum?
It's a good question. I think if you get the chance to watch Roger Federer play Rafa Nadal in a match, whether it's in Brisbane or Melbourne, is quite entertaining. Similarly, now with Ash Barty coming through, it's everybody in Australia is going to get very excited about tennis. This is super. The lead-in events for the Australian Open are very important. For, I guess, we burn brightly for a month. The January month really is about tennis here in Australia, isn't it? It's the summer, and therefore making sure that our best players can play in Adelaide, in Perth, in Brisbane, in Sydney, Hobart, it's crucial. In fact, it's something we spend a lot of time now thinking about, how we make those tournaments even better so that the players have, if I say a job for a month, that seems bizarre, but they come to Australia for the full month, not just the Australian Open.
One last question. Probably you need to be optimistic in a way, for the sake of your job, but aren't you a little bit concerned of what's happening in 3-4 years time when Federer and Nadal and Djokovic won't be there anymore? Aren't you expecting that the whole tennis world will shrink in terms of popularity worldwide?
Well, it's a good question, and one we've been thinking about for probably 10 years. Even if you go back, what would it be now? Is it 2017, I think, the final, when Roger and Rafa both came back from injury and we were all gobsmacked. Oh my God, they're going to get to the final. It was a gift, wasn't it? It was wonderful. We all thought we'd never see it again. And then 2 years later, they're still there. There is no doubt that any sport would miss superstars like Roger, Rafa and Novak and Andy to an extent. You're beginning to see, I think last night was with our new Greek superstars, and some of the younger 19, 20-year-olds look wonderful. What I would say, though, is that this isn't a surprise. So we've seen this coming. So if you go back to the first question of why we're doing this, the Australian Open, if it zeroes in on the traditional tennis tournament, then maybe you are myopic. For us, if we view this as an event that in Australia, the summer is encapsulated by this amazing thing, you've just got to come, then you're starting to protect yourself wide in the appeal. And if something was to happen and we had a 2-year gap where the players weren't as interesting as Roger or Rafa, then you have a wider variety of people visiting the site and the event continues to grow. So it's something we've thought about quite a lot.
Thanks a lot, Richard.
You're welcome.
Dici la tua. Segui la pagina SBS Italian su Facebook e sul profilo Twitter SBS Italian.